The nuclear option is a little less of an option today. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Westinghouse Electric Company, the nuclear energy firm based in Pittsburgh, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy today. Westinghouse is owned by the Japanese company Toshiba and has been running behind schedule and over budget in its construction on several nuclear reactors in the southern U.S. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra has been following the story. Marielle, what led to this bankruptcy filing?
Well, in 2008, Westinghouse signed these deals to build nuclear reactors in Georgia and South Carolina. The company underestimated the cost, and then it was also hit with new safety standards. So now these projects are running several years late and billions of dollars over budget. The company filed for bankruptcy now. It'll reorganize, possibly as a firm that services existing nuclear power plants, and Toshiba executives have said they want to sell it. Now, there's a lot of money at stake here. The federal government has guaranteed $8.3 billion in loans to build the reactors in Georgia. Some of those losses could land in the lap of U.S. taxpayers. That'll come down to negotiations between Toshiba, the U.S. government, the Japanese government, and creditors.
What does this say generally about the nuclear industry in the U.S.?
These were the first nuclear reactors to be approved for construction in the U.S. since the Three Mile Island accident in 1979. This was a bet on the future of nuclear energy. But the thing is, nuclear power is getting less attractive because it requires a lot of time and money to develop. With the price of other types of energy, natural gas, wind, solar power coming down, there's less of a reason to invest in nuclear.
All right. Marketplace, Marielle Segarra, thank you.
Thanks.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down just about 0.1%. Dow futures are down a little bit of more than 0.1%. S&P futures are down barely, and NASDAQ futures are up less than 0.1%. Let's talk about feelings for a moment. Consumer confidence and business optimism are feelings that translate eventually to money, spending, economic growth. We'll find out how the real economy is doing when we get GDP numbers tomorrow. But as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports from our bureau at Oregon Public Broadcasting, the economy as measured by feelings is doing all right.
Last year, GDP grew by a mediocre 1.6%. Most economists expect a modest pickup this year to between 2 and 2.5%. Lynn Franco at the Conference Board says confidence among consumers is now at levels not seen since the early 2000s.
And they're also optimistic about employment and income prospects 6 months down the road.
Which will likely boost their spending on restaurants, new appliances, and houses. Businesses finally appear ready to spend more, too, on higher salaries and also new plant and equipment, says Jeff Kravitz at U.S. Bank Wealth Management.
Business spending and business optimism has been persistently low. And it has changed pretty dramatically with the election that some of these growth initiatives can get done, especially deregulation, which would be really helpful for business.
Republicans have also promised to boost growth with tax cuts and infrastructure spending, though Kravitz says it's not clear they'll be able to pull off either this year. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
President Trump's advisors are still figuring out their infrastructure plan. But the U.S. has had a big infrastructure blitz before. 80 years ago, virtually every county in America got a project under the New Deal. Some got icons like Hoover, Grand Coulee, and other massive dams. But as Sarah Gardner reports, those kinds of monuments, they just don't happen today.
The gigantic Boulder Dam, designed with its blasting of mountains and taming of rivers to irrigate 235 million acres, and banish forever the scourge of drought.
Hoover Dam, some called it Boulder Dam, is an industrial wonder, an engineering victory of the first order, President Roosevelt said. But could Hoover get built today?
The simple answer is no.
David Freiberg teaches civil and environmental engineering at Stanford.
There are a bunch of different reasons for that.
Freiberg says, first off, dams are out of fashion. Most of the good dam sites have been taken, for one, but they upset ecosystems. Take Shasta Dam in Northern California, built shortly after Hoover. Richard Walker, an emeritus professor of geography at Berkeley, says the dam prevented devastating floods, but
Shasta basically destroyed the salmon run of the Upper Sacramento, which was one of the great salmon runs in the world.
Environmental objections often delay big projects today or even stop them. Safety and other labor standards are higher, too. Workers lost their lives building those mega dams of the Great Depression. Some 100 men died at Hoover under work and living conditions that would never fly today. Acquiring the land is harder as well. At Hoover, the government easily bought out an entire town. At Shasta, Native Americans contend it was a land grab.
Shasta Dam is pretty much the weapon of mass destruction for our people.
Kalleen Sisk is chief of the Winnemem-Wintu tribe. She says her grandparents and others were pushed off their land by Shasta Dam construction. Today, even a proposal to make the dam higher draws loud opposition. The Winnemem say expanding the dam's reservoir would flood even more tribal sites.
So even though we can't live there, we have always gone back there. We always go there to dance. We always keep up our prayers to the sacred places.
More scrutiny, more regulatory hurdles, more hoops for mega projects to jump through today. That makes them pricier, of course. It would cost well over $1 billion to raise the Shasta Dam higher. That's more than double what the U.S. government spent in today's money to build the dam in the first place. In Northern California, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Robots have taken auto jobs, textile jobs, and now finance. BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager with $5 trillion of investments, is turning to artificial intelligence to manage some of its portfolios. Who knew Hal would start out as a broker? In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.